As false doctrine and unsound teaching were spreading among believers in the church of Colossae, Epaphras, the spiritual guide of that assembly, went to get advice from Paul, who was imprisoned in Rome. The apostle deals with these spiritual problems in his letter to the Colossians, in which he paints a magnificent portrait of Christ, the Creator and Lord of the universe. Paul describes the unique perfections and preeminence of the person and work of the Son of God in order to make believers understand that man can add nothing to the work of redemption accomplished by Christ on the cross. Some of the Colossians were trying to improve on God's plan of salvation by adding human works. "Take care that no one deceives you by fine-sounding arguments," Paul writes, "for you have been given all the fullness of Christ in union with him. He is supreme over every power and authority, and in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Then the apostle further develops the theme of the great work of salvation accomplished by Christ. "You were at one time spiritually dead because of your sinful nature," he says, "but God has made you alive with Christ through faith when he cancelled the unfavorable record of our debts and all that was against us by nailing it to the cross. In this way, Christ publicly triumphed over all the powers of evil." "I wrestle in prayer for you," Paul continues, "so that you may be encouraged, united in love, and strengthened in the faith, being rooted and built up in Christ Jesus, and that you may understand what glorious riches you have in him." Then Paul talks about a mystery, a secret that God had kept hidden in the past, and that he has now made known to his people, namely, Christ is in you, and he is your hope of glory. "For you have died and been raised with Christ," Paul writes, "and your life is now hidden with him in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Paul goes on to explain that the new life is not the result of human regulations, such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. All that, he says, is worthless. What is needed is to put off the old self with its evil desires and bad habits, and put on the new self, which is constantly being renewed in the image of its Creator. "Since you have been raised with Christ," he writes, "set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Keep your minds fixed on things in heaven, not on things here on earth." Paul reminds his readers that in Christ Jesus there are no differences of race or social position in God's sight. No Gentiles or Jews, barbarians, slaves or freemen. For Christ, he says, is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen and dearly loved people, put to death the passions and bad habits of your earthly nature, and put on kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Paul exhorts believers to bear with each other, and to forgive whatever grievances they might have against one another. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts," he says, "and the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and instruct each other with all wisdom. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Then Paul deals with some practical questions concerning family relationships. He reminds believers that each member of the family has a God-given position with its duties and responsibilities. The husband, as head of the household, should be loving and kind to his wife and children, and should treat servants in a way that is right and fair, remembering that he too has a master in heaven. All the members of the family should respect and serve each other with a sincere heart, because they are in reality serving Christ. In his final instructions, Paul exhorts believers to devote themselves to prayer, to be wise in the way they act towards the unsaved, making good use of every opportunity they might have, and to make sure that what they said was always gracious and helpful to others. Paul ends his letter with greetings and some news from the church in Rome, making mention of a certain dear and faithful brother named Onesimus. Onesimus was a runaway slave whose master lived in Colossae. So when Paul drafted his letter to the Colossians, he also wrote a short note to the family that Onesimus had left. It is the letter to Philemon. Next episode, the Epistle to Philemon.